the spiritual condition of America, politics, culture, and current events, analyzed through the lens of Scripture. Welcome to the Alex McFarland Show.
In the very famous song attributed to Martin Luther, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," there's a line about Satan, and it says, "The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. One little word shall fell him." Of course, the word being the word Jesus, our Savior. Hi, Alex McFarland. Welcome to the program. We're going to talk of all things about Satan and demons and give you several things that I think all people need to know about Satan and demons. And as we begin the program, it's interesting. I saw an article on a website called The American Mind, and it was an article by a person who says that he is not religious, but he considers a lot that's going on in the culture, the school shootings, and just the outrage by so many over the reversal of Roe versus Wade, which really, by the way, was completely constitutional because our Declaration of Independence, Constitution, and Bill of Rights, in fact, our entire judiciary, and what is one of the secrets to the stability and preservation of our culture, natural law, means that abortion is absolutely unconstitutional because natural law says all people are humans and have certain rights, among those the right to life. And yet, as this writer remarked, that the pro-choice activist, for years their mantra was safe, legal, and rare about abortion, but then they were threatening violence against Supreme Court justices and merely disagreeing with opinions causes people to be violent, outraged, and of course, psychologists will tell you for years they've been dealing with people engaging in self-harm. I know I see this in youth ministry and in our camps and conferences. We deal with teens that are depressed and they cut themselves and they stab sharp objects in their calves. And they will tell you, those that are cutters or engaging in self-harm, that the physical pain they inflict on themselves helps them momentarily forget the emotional and spiritual pain they feel within their heart. And psychologists also talk about how many patients claim to have communicated with evil spirits and demons, and some are even demon-possessed. And so one writer says, why, in the midst of all of this societal turmoil, why is no one talking about the demonic? And where is the church that, if indeed we are a culture under demonic sway, where are those that know how to have victory over the darkness, demons, and in fact, Satan? And why are preachers not preaching? Why is the church not crying out? And why are those who know the true and living God not calling our culture to a place of safety, sanctuary, and spiritual oasis? Why, if we're in a period of darkness, are there none that know how to lead us back to the light? And this editorial was written by a psychologist who claims to not even believe in religious things. Isn't it something that a professed agnostic would call out the fact that our problems right now are not fundamentally financial or political, cultural, ethnic, racist, but spiritual? One other thing that I think is very interesting, and what I want to do in the context of this show, is refute one of the main objections against the idea that, yes, there is a Satan. And I would say this as one that believes and teaches the Bible. God is real. The love of God is real. Salvation is real. The protection that we have in Christ against that evil triumvirate, the world, the flesh, and the devil, all of those promises of forgiveness, restoration, sustenance, preservation, safety, sanctuary in Christ, those promises of God are absolutely real. But we need to say this too, the warnings of the Bible against Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10, the warnings of Scripture against the satanic. That's very real, very factual as well. Satan is real. Psychologists that I've researched, past and present, talk about those that are sociopaths and serial killers. Many have told their analysts that a demon appeared to them, and there seems to be in demonic possession and demonic oppression of those that fall under the sway of Satan or demons, or at least tell their psychologists that they have, there seems to be a moment of permission. And what's interesting, I've read a number of psychologists that don't claim to be especially religious, and yet they said they hear a similar story come from clients. Many sociopaths and killers and convicted murderers talk about as a child, they were led to harm little animals and then do other things, and they got into dark places, whether it be like the goth dress or heavy metal, death metal music, or violent video games, or just terrible pornography addiction, drug addiction. But there seems to be a time when a dark demonic presence would appear, and the victim, the person possessed, would lock eyes and give the demon permission to come in. This is very real. We don't need to obsess about it. We certainly shouldn't spend an overt amount of time talking about this. But the point is, even secular psychologists that don't claim to be necessarily religious or even Christian are talking about that we are a demonized culture. Now, I want to be very clear. A Christian cannot be possessed by a demon, because Ephesians 4:30 says that a Christian is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, I do think that even born-again believers, indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, can allow Satan to have a foothold in their life. And I guess, for lack of a better word, we might say a Christian could be demonized, not demon-possessed, but at least harassed, demonized. And as we begin this discussion, and as we get ready to look at some things that the Bible says about Satan and demons, you need to ask yourself, is there unconfessed sin in my life? If you're a believer, does Christ really have control of your life, every nook and cranny of who you are? We have to pull away. We're going to come back in just a moment, and we'll continue our look at Satan and the demonic. But ask yourself, have I been saved? Have I trusted Christ as my Savior? And does Jesus indeed have lordship over all of my life? Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll, from God's Word, look at the things that you should know and be aware of regarding Satan and demons. Don't go away.
Fox News and CNN call Alex McFarland a religion and culture expert. Stay tuned for more of his teaching and commentary after this.
In the mid-1980s, Jerry Cox was a public school history teacher in Arkansas with no political aspirations. That changed when he realized those who held a Christian worldview had no representation in the Arkansas State Capitol. Jerry founded Arkansas Family Council, and for more than three decades, AFC has been the voice of biblical values in Arkansas. More Than Words is an inspirational story, one you should read and encourage others to read as well. Visit afa.net/thestand.
He's been called trusted, truthful, and timely. Welcome back to the Alex McFarland Show.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. I hope that you're liking us and sharing us on social media. You know, we're on all the social media platforms. We have a YouTube channel, Alex McFarland Ministries. And of course, we're seen several times a week on the NRB television network throughout the Western Hemisphere. National Religious Broadcasters, we're on American Family Radio live 5 days a week with the show Exploring the Word. And then, of course, the Alex McFarland Show, that you're hearing now. I do want to say that we appreciate your prayers and support. We do events, publishing, and broadcasting. We ship out many thousands of copies of books and resources throughout the year. We do our best to help evangelize the lost, equip the saved, mobilize the church for cultural transformation. And I want to say on behalf of our board and our ever-growing staff, we thank you very much for your prayers and financial support. You can give securely online at alexmcfarland.com. But about Satan and the demonic, there are no shortage of references to Satan in pop culture, but it is important that our opinions about this be biblically informed. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about Satan. Scripture tells us that God did not create Satan as an agent of evil. Satan was an angel who, along with a large but finite number of lesser angels, chose freely to rebel against God. And angelic treason against God resulted in Lucifer and his followers being ejected from heaven. Now, the devil hates God, but he can't kill God. So the devil hates God's followers. If you're a born-again believer, know this, that Satan hates you, but you're protected, you're in the hand of God. That's John 10:28. But though their ultimate punishment is an absolute certainty, Satan and the demons wreak whatever havoc on earth that they can. And the Bible warns us that as history moves toward the point of Christ's return, demonic activity will persist and will even increase. That's 2 Timothy 4:1, 2 Timothy 3:1-13. Demonic activity will increase as we near the return of Jesus. Now, Satan and all other fallen angels will be thrown into the lake of fire. They will experience eternal punishment for their mutiny against God who made them. And you may read about that in Ezekiel 28:15, Isaiah 14:12-14, and Luke 10:18. Now, think about this, and I don't mean to be morose or unnecessarily dark, but Satan is someone who has been around you your whole life. You think about the closest relationship in your life, your mother, your father. Satan has had designs on you since the moment you were born. But the Bible emphatically warns that Satan's intent is for the spiritual destruction of people. 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls Satan the god of this age and a spiritual deceiver. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Revelation 12:9 says that Satan led the whole world astray, quote unquote. Isn't that something? Jesus says that Satan is, quote, the enemy, and that hell was made for him and the other demons. That's in Matthew 13:39 and Matthew 25:41. But familiarity with Satan is important, and I'll tell you why. Because we're in a spiritual battle. We really are. You remember the old song, Onward Christian Soldiers. And churches don't really sing that so much anymore, but they really should, because we are in a battle. And familiarity with an enemy is crucial for soldiers in war. And the Bible makes it clear that we are really at war. Now, a study of things satanic should be biblically informed, cautious, and done only with prudent awareness. We're not to be obsessed or think too much about demons. We should be aware of this reality. But in C.S. Lewis's preface to the Screwtape Letters, a very famous work that C.S. Lewis did, but Lewis wrote, quote, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils," said Lewis. "One is to disbelieve their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors." Isn't that something that Lewis said? Now, many times in the program, we have had on and we've referenced Gary Habermas. And Gary Habermas, once in one of our conferences in a Q&A, says this. He said, "The Bible never says that Satan in the spirit world is not real. They are. But there's a real danger in involving oneself with this topic. The Bible tells us, though, and I encourage students not to research beyond the Bible. The quickest way to occult involvement, says Habermas, is too much curiosity. End of quote. So these realities are not to be trifled with. And so Scripture basically says, you know, this is real, but let's not focus on that. Let's focus on Jesus. We don't want to focus on the darkness, but on the light. So let's get down to some biblical points. I mean, Satan is a loser and he knows it. The Bible is very clear that the devil is going to fall or be thrown rather into the lake of fire. And Satan's doom is a certainty. And the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's Matthew 25:41, Revelation 20, verse 10. And so it is interesting, I think, that the Bible makes no provision for the salvation of fallen angels. Their insurrection, which began in heaven so long ago, will culminate in all demons finally acknowledging the lordship of Christ, Philippians 2:10, that every knee in earth and heaven will bow. God does, however, praise the Lord, redeem fallen humans. And this is the good news. History right now reels and staggers under the weight of the collateral damage of Satan's rebellion in heaven. But Satan and his schemes are guaranteed to fail. And we are vividly reminded of this every time, like at our recent camp when 2016s joined the ranks of the redeemed and put their faith in Jesus. Now, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back, and I want to give you basically 5 points from Scripture that you need to know about Satan and the demons. What should we know about this, and how may we be sure to have consistent victory over the darkness, because we are the children of the light. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
Fox News and CNN call Alex McFarland a religion and culture expert. Stay tuned for more of his teaching and commentary after this.
Christian author and speaker Alex McFarland is an advocate for Christian apologetics. Teaching in more than 2,200 churches around the world, schools, and college campuses, Alex is driven by a desire to help people grow in relationship with God. He arms his audiences with the tools they need to defend their faith, while also empowering the unchurched to find out the truth for themselves. In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex is a sound voice who speaks timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. With 18 published books to his name, it's no surprise that CNN, Fox, The Wall Street Journal, and other media outlets have described Alex as a religion and culture expert. To learn more about Alex and to book him as a speaker at your next event, visit alexmcfarland.com, or you can contact us directly by emailing booking@alexmcfarland.com.
He's been called trusted, truthful, and timely. Welcome back to the Alex McFarland Show.
Welcome back to the Alex McFarland Program. Alex McFarland here, so honored that you're listening. And by the way, on the newly redesigned Alex McFarland website, we've got my speaking schedule. I'm on the road traveling even as we record this. I am on my way to Iowa for our final youth camp of the summer where I'm speaking. I'm in some schools this fall, in some churches. I would love to see you when we come to your city. Also, two very important things. We are working on the calendar for 2023 and 2024. If you would like to have one of our national conferences come to your city or your region, reach out to us. Email us info@alexmcfarland.com. You know, over the last 20 years, we've done, 48 or 49 conferences around the country. We've had Lee Strobel, Josh McDowell, J. Warner Wallace, James Dobson, the late, great Chuck Colson, Eric Metaxas, Ben Carson, Johnny Erickson, I mean, everybody you can think of. And it's time to do more of these. And so if you think that in your city you would like to help us, you can form committees. We will coach you on how to help with the outreach, the promotion, a prayer team. Just email us info@alexmcfarland.com. We'll share with you one of our event preparation manuals, and it will guide you through how you can make some friends, you can link arms, and revival and a great move of God can come to your city. This is what we live to do. So reach out to us. And then finally, for your support, we make peanut butter. My grandmother taught me how to make peanut butter. And our all-natural, 100%, no corn syrup, no non-GMO, our peanut butter has been a favorite of people for years. We're doing something this month we've never done before. For your tax-deductible donation of at least $25, we're going to send you a jar of our all-natural peanut butter. My godly grandmother, she's in heaven, but it was my grandmother who taught me how to make peanut butter. Crunchy or smooth, you can donate securely online at alexmcfarland.com, and we'll send you a jar of peanut butter as our show of thanks. And so reach out to us and help us to evangelize the lost and educate the saved. Well, let's conclude our talk about Satan and demons. Number one, you know this, and it's important to keep in mind, demons are fallen angels. Now, praise God, there are non-fallen angels. They're all around us. But Satan and his followers were cast out of heaven. Secondly, know this, that fallen angels operate in organizational hierarchy. Now, Scripture has a number of titles in addition to Satan and devil that sum him up. And do you know, it seems like demons are very territorial. I've been in parts of the world where you could literally feel the heaviness and the darkness in the air. You know what I'm talking about. And there are parts of the United States of America where we feel this demonic heaviness. I've always felt in Chicago. When I'm in Chicago, Illinois, there's this pall over that city. I feel it when I'm in New Orleans, Louisiana, which has a history of voodoo. Manitou Springs, Colorado. And there's a lot of ministry, and there are many Christians out there, but there's also been a lot of occultism and New Age movement. And there seems to be this territorial organizational hierarchy. Now, the Bible uses terms like this, tempter, in Matthew 4, 3, Beelzebub, Matthew 12, the enemy, Matthew 13, the evil one, Belial, that's 2 Corinthians 6, 15, which is a name for the devil. 1 Peter 5, 8 is really probably the verse that uses the term most accurate for what is the meaning of the word Satan or Satan. And that's adversary. The word Satan means adversary. And 1 Peter 5:8 calls him that. Revelation 12:9 says he is a deceiver. Revelation 12:3 refers to Satan as, quote, the great dragon, father of lies, John 8:44, murderer and sinner and the father of sin and the tempter. Know this. It's interesting. Some try to deny that Satan is real. And I've had professors and students that debated me who said, well, you know, the idea of Satan isn't even in the Old Testament. You know, that's false. And let me give you an example. Sometimes the Philistines were called Israel's adversary. And a skeptic will say, see, the word adversary, Satan, is, you know, it's not, there's not really a specific devil in the Old Testament. Yes, there is, because, like in Job chapter 1, where it says the sons of God presented themselves, and God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And I'm sure you know that story. Satan was given permission to persecute Job, not kill him. Job was vindicated, God was honored, and Job was faithful even in the midst of adversity. In fact, sometimes maybe the trials you go through, there's been some arm wrestling match in the invisible realms we don't know about, and you staying faithful to Christ, even in times of stress and trouble. It may be simply to shut the mouth of the one that the Bible calls the accuser. But in Job chapter 1, if anyone ever says to you, well, the Old Testament doesn't really mention Satan, there is the word Satan, which is adversary. But in Job 1, it says the Satan. There's a definite article. So it's not just this amorphous, ambiguous concept of adversity. No, the adversary. So the Old Testament treats Satan as real. Now, we need to know this. Satan and demons are limited by time, space, and abilities. Now, Satan is powerful. Satan cannot read your mind. But I do think Satan and the demons are very tactical. They're keen observers. And so I do think we are to avoid the very appearance of evil. We're not to give the devil even a foothold. We're to flee temptation, just like Joseph ran and fled from Potiphar's wife. And we're to fix our mind on Christ. The Bible says God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And really the point that we need to really end on, I suppose, that Christ is victorious over Satan, and every believer can be as well. The devil and the demons have no future because a sovereign, all-powerful, omnipotent God is in control. You know, it's interesting, though, as America and the West have denied the existence of spiritual darkness and sin, now, and frankly, as the church has become more prayerless and the church has become more politically correct, Satan does have a foothold. But we can see lost ground restored if we turn to Christ. We pray for revival. And many Western Christians have embraced a kind of a watered-down theology that might affirm angels, probably doesn't affirm demons. But we need to understand this blind spot of treating spiritual principalities lightly. That's probably how Satan wants it. We need to understand that salvation is only in Jesus. Spiritual safety and security is in walking with Jesus. And yes, at the name of Jesus, Satan must flee and is defeated. But we as individuals and as families and as churches and as the remnant of God's believers within our culture called to be salt and light, we must be full of the Holy Spirit, equipped and secure in the armor of Christ. Read Ephesians 5 and 6. And stand against the wiles or the schemes of Satan. There is victory in the spiritual realm, but that victory is in Jesus and Jesus alone.
Alex McFarland Ministries are made possible through the prayers and financial support of partners like you. For over 20 years, this ministry has been bringing individuals into a personal relationship with Christ and has been equipping people to stand strong for truth. Learn more and donate securely online at alexmcfarland.com. You may also reach us at Alex McFarland, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina 27404, or by calling 1-877-YES-GOD-1. That's 1-877-YES-GOD-1. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again on the next edition of the Alex McFarland Show.